Good morning, and welcome to this hour of worship, coming to you from Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Sweet Springs, Missouri. Today is the second Sunday of after Pentecost. Pastor John Ingwald will be conducting the service this morning, and we have congratulations to Roy and Dolores Hemme on 69 years of marriage. The radio broadcast this morning is dedicated in their honor by their children, Nelson and Susan Geyer, David and Janet Hemme, Pete and Dan Emilius. We thank you for honoring your parents by spreading God's message to our radio listeners.
Members in good standing of Emmanuel Lutheran Church or other congregations of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. If you're not currently a communicant member of a Missouri Synod congregation, we ask you to please refrain from partaking of the sacrament. However, we invite everyone who's not communing today to come forward during distribution to receive an individual blessing. If you'd like to do that, please cross your arms over your chest when you come forward to indicate blessing only. We're so very glad you're here today. Our opening hymn is LSB 803, Joyful, Joyful, We Adore Thee.
And of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let us then confess our sins to God our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart,
We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen.
Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for us, and for his sake he forgives you all of your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all of your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
We read responsively the introit. The Mighty One, God the Lord, speaks and summons the earth.
From the rising of the sun to its setting.
Hear, O my people, and I will speak. O Israel, I will testify against you.
I am God, your God.
Not for your sacrifices do I rebuke you.
Your burnt offerings are continually before me.
I will not accept a bull from your house,
or goats from your folds.
For every beast of the forest is mine.
The cattle on a thousand hills. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
The Mighty One, God the Lord, speaks and summons the earth.
From the rising of the sun to its setting.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord.
Christ, our Lord, who was slain, who's blood shed us free.
us pray. Almighty and most merciful God, you sent your Son, Jesus Christ, to seek and to save the lost. Graciously open our ears and our hearts to hear his call and to follow him by faith, that we may feast with him forever in his kingdom, through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Please be seated. The Old Testament reading for this, the second Sunday after Pentecost, is from the prophet Hosea, chapter 5, verse 15 through chapter 6, verse 6. This will also serve as our sermon text for this morning. I will return again to my place until they acknowledge their guilt and seek my face, and in their distress earnestly seek me. Come, let us return to the Lord, for he has torn us that he may heal us. He has struck us down, and he will bind us up. After 2 days he will revive us. On the third day he will raise us up, that we may live before him. Let us know. Let us press on to know the Lord. His going out is sure as the dawn. He will come to us as the showers, as the spring rains that water the earth. What shall I do with you, O Ephraim? What shall I do with you, O Judah? Your love is like a morning cloud, like the dew that goes early away. Therefore I have hewn them by the prophets. I have slain them by the words of my mouth, and my judgment goes forth as the light. For I desire steadfast love and not sacrifice, the knowledge of God rather than burnt offerings. This is the word of the Lord. We read together the gradual. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. On your wondrous works I will meditate, and I will declare your greatness. The epistle text is from Romans chapter 4. The promise to Abraham and his offspring that he would be heir of the world did not come through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. For if it is the adherents of the law who are to be the heirs, faith is null and the promise is void. For the law brings wrath, but where there is no law, there is no transgression. That is why it depends on faith, in order that the promise may rest on grace and be guaranteed to all his offspring, not only to the adherent of the law, but also to the one who shares the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all, as it is written, I have made you the father of many nations, in the presence of the God in whom he believed, who gives life to the dead and calls into existence the things that do not exist. In hope he believed against hope that he should become the father of many nations, as he had been told, so shall your offspring be. He did not weaken in faith when he considered his own body, which was as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, or when he considered the barrenness of Sarah's womb. No distrust made him waver concerning the promise of God, but he grew strong in his faith as he gave glory to God, fully convinced that God was able to do what he had promised. That is why his faith was counted to him as righteousness. But the words that was counted to him were not written for his sake alone, but for ours also. It will be counted to us who believe in him, who raised from the dead Jesus our Lord, who was delivered up for our trespasses and raised for our justification. This is the word of the Lord. Please rise for the gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 9th chapter. As Jesus passed on from there, he saw a man called Matthew sitting at the tax booth, and he said to him, "Follow me." And he rose and followed him. And as Jesus reclined at table in the house, behold, many tax collectors and sinners came and were reclining with Jesus and his disciples. And when the Pharisees saw this, they said to his disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" But when he heard it, he said, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. Go and learn what this means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice. For I came not to call the righteous, but sinners." This is the gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. Our hymn of the day is 915, "Today Your Mercy Calls Us." It is a common misconception that God dealt differently with people in the Old Testament than he does now. That the former way of achieving righteousness before God was by following his very detailed instructions, but now, under the New Testament, that system has been replaced by faith. It is generally assumed that the Old Testament relationship with God is based fully and completely on observant obedience, while the New Testament relationship with God is based on faith. But as we see in our scripture text from the prophet Hosea, mankind's righteousness before God has never been based at any time on outward acts.
It has always been based on faith, on the state of one's heart toward God. In Hosea, we find a people called to be God's people, but their hearts are far from him. They have filled their thoughts and their days with this world's concerns and attractions. They put their faith in political wranglings, material prosperity, and of course in the worship of many false gods, while giving lip service to the Lord. Therefore, God turns away from his people. He separates himself from them. They can expect nothing good from him until they realize the error of their ways and return to him, not with lip service, but with broken and contrite hearts. Through the prophet, God tells his people that they have no hope in him until they acknowledge their guilt and seek my face, and in their distress, earnestly seek me. Well, that's what people do, isn't it? They seek God in their distress, but not the distress that comes from the knowledge of their sin. Oh, people turn and pray, and sanctuaries are filled every time there's a crisis, a traumatic event. And then, after the dust settles and they adjust to the so-called new normal, well, then it's right back to business as usual. Their distress is not from the conviction of sin upon their heart and the certainty of God's judgment. No, their distress lies in the fact that the things in which they had put their faith in and their trust, those things have failed, and their routine has been disrupted. They don't acknowledge their sin. They certainly don't repent of it. And they don't acknowledge the one true and living God. Nor do they seek the true eternal stability and peace of God's mercy that only comes through Jesus Christ. They only appeal to God to keep them safe and secure here and now. And when that doesn't happen, well, then they get angry at God. And when it does, will they once again move him to the side to make room for other things? Such were the people of old, and such are the people today. Even you and I, Christians who should know better, slip into our fallen nature, and our faith life becomes an unthinking, mechanical, going through the motions. We fill our lives with so many commitments that in order to make room for all of them, well, something has to be moved. Something has to be put on the back burner, pushed to the side. The first thing that gets moved to make room on our schedule is always church stuff. But what exactly is church stuff? Well, of course, it's the regular Sunday service, but it's also Bible study, junior confirmation, and adult instruction. It's all of those other times that we all gather together as the body of Christ to support and encourage one another, to be fed by God's word, to confess our sins and receive forgiveness, to thank and praise God and pray with and for each other. And it's also setting aside some quiet, alone time for private prayer and meditation upon God's word. Church stuff is God stuff. These things are the root of your identity as a baptized child of God. These things are not meant to be moved aside in order to make room for other stuff. They are the center, the hub, the anchor of your entire life around which everything else in your life is supposed to revolve. But you and I, we get it backward. Our faith life becomes like one spoke in a very large wheel, not the hub. Now, don't get me wrong, there are plenty of honest-to-goodness needs
that do restrict our opportunities for intentional time with God and gathering together with our family in Christ. There's personal and family illnesses, caring for aged or ill loved ones, and of course certain careers, for example, in the medical or public safety or military vocations. These are things that are essential obligations that cannot be set aside and often make regular church attendance impossible. And they even challenge our ability to take just a quiet moment alone to spend time one-on-one with God. There is, however, a vast difference between having the desire but limited opportunity and having the opportunity but little desire. God was not happy with his people. He was not happy with them because they were going through the motions of loving and serving God, but in reality, their hearts were captive to many idols. Do we dare look at those things that deprive or distract us from time with the Lord and seriously seek to make those adjustments that put him back as the hub, the center of our lives? Where do we have other gods? What are your idols? We all have them. They sneak in. They take center stage so that we don't realize it until we reflect and we assess. It's no surprise then that Satan wants to keep us all just as busy as possible, too busy to reflect upon just what is motivating us and assess just exactly where our heart is. Just like the people of old, we often check off our church stuff on our to-do list, but our heart isn't in it. We have other, more important commitments. God sent Hosea to his people of old to point this out to them in order to call them back, to find their center, to return to the source of their life, to return to God. You know, it's never pleasant to point out what's wrong. There's certainly no joy in hearing it. But only then can the wrong be corrected. Through Hosea, God names the sin. And that hurts. But then he tenderly invites sinners to repent and be healed. Come, let us return to the Lord, for he has torn us that he may heal us. He has struck us down, and he will bind us up. Certainly, these words speak to us as well. The Lord only strikes us with the hammer of his law so that we recognize our need for him, recognize how far we've strayed. Only then can he heal us. Only then can he bind up our brokenness. And he has promised that he will. And we know that he has. We see that God's people were giving lip service to God. They were going through the motions of worship and prayer as if these outward acts would satisfy God's requirements for them to be righteous before him. In the face of crisis, their solution was to give more attention to the acts of worship, to try to appease God. But what does God say? For I desire steadfast love and not sacrifice, the knowledge of God rather than burnt offerings. Has never, ever been our outward acts of pious devotion or sacrificial service that makes us righteous before God. It is the heart made alive through faith in God's love for us. It is the broken and the contrite heart that in repentance and acknowledgement of its guilt seeks after God for his promised mercy. This is the one who hears the words of Christ, the good news that your sins are forgiven, and takes it to heart. That heart rejoices in the undeserved mercy of God. The heart enlivened by the love of God desires to be about the things of God, embracing the Lord and his salvation as the very hub that holds your entire life together. God desires mercy and not sacrifice. And yet we see that real love, the love of God, is sacrificial. Jesus Christ crucified is God's love toward us. Jesus sacrificed himself not out of mechanical obedience or cold legalism. Love brought Jesus to the cross. His love for you. Even though we have often pushed God to the side, he still comes to us with his abundant, constant forgiveness, cleansing us from this and from all of our other sins through Jesus' life and his death and his glorious resurrection. As we see from the words of the prophet Hosea, man's righteousness before God has never been based on outward acts, but instead it has always been based on faith, on the state of one's heart toward God. A heart conditioned by repentance and thankfulness for God's love and mercy toward us. Such a heart naturally puts God in the center and moves everything else to its proper place. Embrace the gospel. Embrace the full and complete forgiveness of your sins for the sake of Jesus Christ crucified. Let that always be the very hub and center of your wheel. You have many spokes, but only one hub. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus the Lord. Amen. Let us arise and confess our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed.
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again, according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father, and he will come again with glory to judge us both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Let us pray for the whole Church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. O Lord, you strike down and you heal. Though we justly deserve your wrath for our sin, revive us and raise us up that we may live before you forever. Lord, in your mercy.
Amen.
Gracious God, your Son called Matthew from his tax booth to be an apostle who proclaimed salvation. Continue to call men into your holy ministry and endow them with every good gift to proclaim your word and administer your sacraments in righteousness, for the need is very great. Lord, in your mercy. Lord, we give you thanks for the institution of marriage which you yourself have ordained and for the blessings of husband and wife. We especially give thanks as Roy and Dolores Hemi celebrate tomorrow 69 years of blessed matrimony. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Father in heaven, by your grace, Abraham did not weaken in faith, but trusted your promises. Strengthen parents to persist in their callings and train their children in your word and ways. Defend them from discouragement and apathy, and convince them that you are able to do what you have promised. Lord, in your mercy, Creator of all things, you call into existence what does not exist and govern it for good. Remember those you have given authority among the nations, that the laws they administer might reflect your order and maintain peace. Surround our military, police, and all public safety professionals with your hedge of protection. We especially pray for McKenna, Drake, and Ethan. Lord, in your mercy, gracious Lord, you are the great physician of both body and soul. Look with compassion on those who are suffering from illness. If it be your will, give them a full restoration to health and strength. In the midst of these difficulties, O Lord, keep them firm in their faith and trust, that they might never doubt your presence and love for them. We especially pray this morning for Carol, Evelyn, Nolan, Lindsay, Ryan, Bryce, Brandy, Debbie, Reverend Dr. Arlie Hagen, Gail, Randy and Lori, Kelly, David, Danny, Inez, Mary Lou, Elliot, Jeffrey. We pray for the family of Reverend Walt Snyder. We also pray for Norma, Walter, Millie, Dorothy, Carol, Roy. We pray for our mission workers, Reverend Peaster and Christy Kolb, and Reverend David and Valerie Federwitz. Lord, in your mercy, Holy God, you desire mercy and not sacrifice. Preserve us from doing good only out of a grudging obligation. Grant us joyful hearts that serve our neighbor in love, in thankfulness for the good you have done for us in Jesus Christ. Lord, in your mercy.
Amen.
Holy Father, receive our thanks for your kindness to Abraham, Sarah, and all the saints who have gone before us. Preserve us in faith and in righteousness, that we too may give you glory, both now and forever. Lord, in your mercy, we entrust all these petitions to your care, loving Father, confident in your great mercy for the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who is worshiped together with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. I invite you at this time to greet each other with God's peace. Peace be with you.
The Lord be with you. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
Salutary, that we should at all times and at all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, Everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, blessed are you, Lord of heaven and earth, for you have had mercy on those whom you created, and sent your only begotten Son into our flesh to bear our sin and be our Savior. With repentance joy, we receive the salvation accomplished for us by the all-availing sacrifice of his body and his blood on the cross. Gathered in the name and the remembrance of Jesus, we beg you, O Lord, to forgive, renew, and to strengthen us with your word and spirit. Grant us faithfully to eat his body and drink his blood, as he bids us do in his own testament. Gather us together, we pray, from the ends of the earth, to celebrate with all the faithful the marriage feast of the Lamb and his kingdom, which has no end. Graciously receive our prayers, deliver and preserve us. To you alone, O Father, be all glory, honor, and worship, with the Son and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Our Lord Jesus Christ, in the night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he'd given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way, also, he took the cup after supper. And when he'd given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of all sins. This do as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." As often as we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.
Amen. Come,
Lord Jesus Christ, only Son of the Father, in giving us your body and blood to eat and to drink, you lead us to remember and confess your holy cross and passion, your blessed death, your rest in the tomb, your resurrection from the dead, your ascension into heaven, and your coming for the final judgment. So remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Thank you.
God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift, and we implore you that of your mercy, you would strengthen us through the same in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.
Our closing hymn is number 702, My Faith Looks Up to Thee.